this Leading with Excellence podcast featuring the superintendent of Peru Community Schools, Trent McCormick. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, executive director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows our listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and servant leader, someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and a genuine care for people. Well, let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Trent McCormick. Welcome, Trent.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Trent, you're superintendent at Peru Community Schools. Did you always know that you wanted to be a superintendent, or tell us about your pathway?
No. If someone would have asked me, you know, 5-10 years ago that I would be living in Miami County in Peru, Indiana, I'd have said, where's that at? But I've taken a non-traditional pathway to superintendency, no doubt. I was hired as the head wrestling coach at Yorktown High School when I was 20 years old. And I just share that because I ended up I was the head coach for 30 years. So wow. I was around education, but out of Ball State University, mm-hmm. I actually worked in an environmental agency for 15 years.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I became a teacher, went through ISU's T2T program in the early 2000s, taught for 13 years, then got my first administrative break in Covington Community Schools. So I was a building level administrator, athletic director for a couple of years, and then a position came open at a small rural district back in East Central Indiana. And my non-traditional pathway into superintendency.
I'm going to get back to your wrestling background in just a minute, but for people that don't know, you mentioned Miami County. Where is Peru? So you think about the state of Indiana, where is Peru located? And tell us a little bit about your district.
We, geographically speaking, like, we are in a great spot. You know, we're an hour east of Lafayette, an hour west of Fort Wayne, hour south of South Bend, hour north of Indianapolis. Our son lives in Chicago, so it's 2.5 hours. So geographically, Peru is like right smack dab in the middle of north central Indiana. Old railroad town. Okay. Our school district is just a sliver across from county line to county line across the middle. So we're a small city with a little bit of ruralness to us, some cornfields on the fringe. But an old railroad town, three rivers converge, the Wabash, the Mississinewa, and the Eel Rivers.
So I did not know that.
Yeah, it's very nature-y in our area. Our school district is just about 42 square miles.
Okay.
Mconaughey to the south and North Miami to the north are each about 150 square miles. So we're just that sliver through the middle of Miami County. We have a lot of retired military folks in our area from the old Grissom, which is awesome because they bring a kind of a worldly perspective. Mm. And the community loves our sports and fine arts at Peru. That's a very unique and special dynamic I find in my second year in Peru. Of course, the eternal bond is the circus. They started actually, we're in our 65th year. As an amateur circus, so kids from those three, you can be a homeschool student as well, but by and large, a lot of the kids are from Mconaughey, Peru, North Miami. They are going through cuts and tryouts right now in March. They'll practice 4 and 5 nights a week.
This is under the Big Top.
Yeah, Big Top building, downtown Peru.
Wow.
It's quite amazing. I'll be on my lunch break and driving or to a building or on the weekend, and you'll see kids on unicycles around town juggling.
Wow. You know,
they just are practicing for the big culmination is in July, about the middle of July for a week is the Circus City Festival, and they street fair shows at the Big Top every night, and it's amazing.
I'm assuming that their parents were probably also in the circus, which is what has attracted them to be in the circus.
Yes.
Multi-generational.
So as I've met people over the last year and a half, as I've integrated into Peru life, When you meet someone, it's usually two things. Someone will say, Mr. McCormick, this is so-and-so. Now they're a railroad family. Or they'll say, they're a four-generation circus family.
That's how they identify.
Yes.
Wow. I'm going to converge several things that you said. You mentioned your son in Chicago. Cale was a wrestler. Ties right back into your wrestling career. I'm sure that he spent a lot of time on the mat and watching you coach and going up through all the different opportunities that he had as a young person to be a wrestler. But he wrestled for at West Point, Division I wrestling, and had quite a successful career. Served for 4 years in the Army. Brings in that military discussion you just talked about. He was a cyber warfare officer. And now you mentioned Chicago. He's an MBA candidate up in the University of Chicago and recently got married to his wife, Grace. Now, a lot of that sounds like personality for you, but does he take after you or does he take more after your wife?
Well, he definitely gets his good looks from his mother, Jeff, so that's good. I would say he's a nice mix of both of us. Yeah. He really, like many students at Yorktown and his classmates, when Jennifer was our superintendent at Yorktown, you know, she and Kelly Whitman, our mm-hmm. high school principal and the administrators, had the philosophy of a rising tide, raises all ships.
Yeah.
And he's a byproduct of that. You know, he was able to take 11 AP courses and really got just the best public education you could get at Yorktown. And that was, crafted and led by Jennifer. And then, he was wrestling since he was 4 years old. So he was with me a lot of time in the wrestling room. He officiated, in the summer, youth stuff. And we traveled the country. So we ended up, kids went to wrestle at Wabash, Manchester. And then Cale and Brad Laughlin, my 160-pound state champ, and Christian Hunt, two-time state runner-up, the three of them went on to wrestle at Army West Point towards the end of my coaching career. So that was, that was a nice legacy that I ended my career
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. And, to serve our country and now to be in the MBA program, I know that makes you very proud.
Yeah, he worked in his time right after West Point. Most of his time, he was at the NSA on the west side of San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And just briefly, one time, Jennifer and I went down to San Antonio to visit he and Grace. And Grace said, Cale, because he couldn't tell us a lot.
Sure.
We'd say, Cale, what are you working on? Russia, China? Dad, I can't share that, But one time he did share that some cyber op had gone very well, and he had been asked to write the report, one of the final reports, and he called it a ghost report. His name wasn't on it, but it was his work, and it went straight to the desk of President Biden for his review.
Wow.
So we were proud parents.
Absolutely.
Don't know what he was doing, but it must have been important, and we're proud of him.
Wow. Wow. You mentioned Peru is known for the circus, but you also, the school district has quite the art collection. You were sharing that in a recent meeting at a study council where we were. Tell us about that art gallery that you have and some of the pieces of work that have been uncovered.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. It is quite amazing. So David G. Thompson, graduate decades and decades ago, I'm told he was just an average student, but he became like a world-class art collector. Mm. So he started donating things back to the school. Art, would come in, and some of it would hang on the walls of the old high school, which they were not in anymore, and some of it was just stuffed in a closet.
Mm-hmm.
So kids are bumping up against it, collecting dust in the hallways. Well, maybe, 15 to 20 years ago, the community and the school decided to, what do we have here? And they called Christie's out of Chicago and said, we'd like you to come down and value our art collection. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we have.
Yeah.
Now there's this one piece, and I forget the artist, but Christie said, no, that piece has been lost in time. It's nowhere to be found. Well, it had been hidden away in Peru, Indiana. So long story short, Christie's comes down. They value our art collection at over $2.5 million. We have an ancient Asian pottery collection. Some of that's been on loan at the Indianapolis Museum of Art.
No kidding.
And so they ended up, maybe 10 years ago or so, we have a space, an art gallery in Peru High School that looks like you would walk into an art gallery in New York City or Chicago. Mm. And people do come. traveling across the country, or a school mm-hmm. will bring some kids. Our kids get to benefit. So we have a curator, and people will visit our art gallery. And I'm told that for a high school, it's the nicest. I mean, we have a Picasso.
Wow.
And it's really the nicest of its kind in the country.
You mentioned that your gallery is got conditioned air, and I'm sure it has some additional safety features in there for damage and those kinds of things. Probably fairly heavy security system too.
Oh yeah, security, climate control. Yeah. Like it is the real deal. I mean, I want to say we have around 150 or so pieces of art, and some of them are worth quite a bit.
Yeah. So when you're not walking your art gallery, when you're not attending the circus, what does Trent McCormick like to do to get away, to just be a guy?
Well, I'll tell you, we've been fortunate. Whether I was in Covington, Indiana, they had the Circle Trail. Newcastle had the YMCA Trail. And now I'm lucky we have the Nickel Plate Trail that runs from Kokomo to South Bend. So we enjoy walking our dogs, being outside. I've been on 8 or 9 backpacking trips in the Great Smoky Mountains.
Yep.
One of my, I don't tell this too often, but one of my goals, my bucket list is I would like to hike the Appalachian Trail in its, totality someday.
Yes.
About three months
I think that takes.
It takes a while, but, maybe if I'm still healthy in retirement someday. But that and, just being outdoors, I have a quad and a side-by-side, so some buddies and I will go to the Hatfield-McCoy riding area in West Virginia on occasion, and just getting outdoors is what I enjoy.
Wow. So you mentioned you did not go into education right away. What was the impetus that shifted your mindset 15 years into your professional career to do the transition to teaching program and to become a teacher?
Well, I appreciate you asking that, Jeff. Yeah, I was a lay coach for 18 years. So I was a student at Ball State, just started coaching. They hired me, Bob Harrell, the AD. he hired me at 20. So I was just doing it to get some, pizza and cold beverage money.
Yeah.
And then I blinked and, 30 years, I just finished my coaching career in 2018. But
right before the pandemic.
Yeah, so I graduated from Ball State with a biology degree, and I was so fortunate. I went to work at the Muncie Bureau of Water Quality. We were an environmental agency started by John Craddock, and he started his work as a young Ball State student as a result of the 1972 Clean Water Act. And he quite literally, with a small group of environmental scientists, cleaned up the White River as it ran through Delaware County. And then I came along later, and I worked in the chemistry lab for 10 years, then worked outside in surveillance for 5, and really enjoyed it. I mean, John Craddock, I call him, he was the Michael Jordan of water quality.
Huh.
He was known around the world.
Wow.
He was a legend. And I got to work under him and see all of that. I learned so much. But there came a point in time with coaching and then with Jennifer and her work that I understood education. I was around it. I lived it. That I just kind of felt like I wanted to be a teacher. Mm. And so things had relaxed with student teaching requirements at the time that allowed me to go through ISU's T2T program and kind of just transition into teaching without losing a paycheck.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how that went down.
Wow. Trent, fascinating. And I feel like we've just gotten started and I could talk forever, but I know I want to be respectful of our time. You've had a lot of experiences over your lifetime that are related to leadership and have excelled in each one of those. When you think about what leading with excellence means, that's the title of our podcast. What does that mean to you when we take it into consideration or in look at it in the context of public education, leading with excellence?
First of all, whether I was a coach, a teacher, now a superintendent, you have to set high expectations. Mm. That's the excellence. Never compromise your expectations for your students, your staff, your community, whatever it is. So setting high expectations, secondly, teamwork. I've never been a part of anything successful that didn't involve teamwork.
Amen.
And then, lastly, it's just holding ourselves accountable, including me, to those high expectations. So whether it's strategic planning or whatever it is you're doing. We're going through rebranding right now at Peru and whatnot, but holding ourselves accountable to the systems we've created and achieving at a high level. And so those are the three things I guess I point to at a high level and leading with excellence.
Yeah. Thanks, Trent, for being my guest.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the superintendent of the Peru Community Schools, Trent McCormick. Trent's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.